I just need to plug a thing into a thing before we can do that. But help yourselves to food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, open the pizza box.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where sometimes we have problems with our headphones. Do we need to start it over?
As long as it's still working for everybody else, it
does everybody else
matter.
Still have two ears?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
All right.
Did you just get a burst of tinnitus?
That might be it.
Maybe.
I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, audio through only the left channel, and today we'll be talking about home ownership and the Komorabi bike team.
Yeah.
Except it's Komorabi, I think, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. No, that was the thing. Last time Jocelyn was
Komorabi.
Here.
Komorabi.
We said.
What if I just mumble it? Komorabi.
Yeah, exactly. Just you could just kind of grunt. Yeah, yeah. So we are joined by Jocelyn Gotti. Good to see you again.
I'm so glad to be back. Thank you.
Leah Benson, hello.
Boat month.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going strong, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always boat month.
It's always boat month.
Somewhere. that is true. We are also joined by a six-pack and an enormous vegetarian pizza sitting in the middle of the studio. This is the first time we've actually tried to do food and podcasting at the same time.
It'd be great. Could be a train wreck.
It could be. Yeah, no, I think that's a thing that people should do.
It's a shame that podcasting doesn't have, like, a smell aspect to it.
Right.
Oh, smell it's a, really good. Smell. It's a smell of vision, but
well, yeah, smell a caster.
Smell audio.
Exactly.
Right now, I could only smell through my left nostril.
Right, right. It's kind of like, yeah, your headphones.
The audio is only going through one of my
I see what you did there.
Thanks.
Yeah, so it's good to have all three of you in the studio. And by three of you, I mean the people and then the non-sentient pizza that we're eating.
Can I serve anyone?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Meanwhile, I would like to say that there were wars in the stars, and they were captured on celluloid, and I walked to the
theater.
Don't
tell me anything. Don't tell me anything.
Han shot first.
Here, wait. Okay.
Han totally shot first. Are you actually leaving the room?
No.
Oh, okay.
Pizza time.
Going for pizza.
Like, for whatever reason, I'm still going to hear you anyway.
Right. So it was a nice walk. I actually ended up walking. It turned out, oh, thanks. I'll take it. That's a big artichoke heart there. That might be, in fact, multiple artichoke hearts. I'm not sure. But yes, walking to the movie theater is a thing that I hadn't done for a while. I don't know exactly how far it was because I live kind of out by like 82nd Avenue, close to Duke Street.
Spoilers.
Yeah. And the Baghdad Theater now does first-run movies. It was a second-run movie house for years and years. And then I vowed I'd never go back, and then there were Wars in the Stars. So I haven't stood in line for a movie in a long time. It's a weird feeling.
I kind of still refuse to.
Yeah, well, just like on principle, it seems like maybe a bad idea because, I don't know, you're standing in line. But it's the only way to see the movie you want to see at the time that you want to see it. You know, this might be a good time to mention that if we do chew, maybe we should chew away from the microphones.
I don't mind
talking through food necessarily if it's done tastefully, but chewing should be done away from the mic. I just realized that.
That's my fault right there.
No, it's okay. I was going to learn the same lesson in just a minute. But yeah, so standing in line for a movie, after walking, I realized my legs got tired. Because I don't, even though I bicycle a lot, I don't do that much walking that often.
Okay.
But it seemed like a good time to go for a walk. So, yeah, it was nice.
Wait, I'm not going to say. You didn't like get rained on or anything?
Yeah, was the weather good for you?
It was good, like, all the way from, I think it rained a little bit as I was walking home in the evening. But I had a rain jacket on, so that was okay.
You're sad?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I wish I walked more places now. I think I need to do more of this.
I especially wish that I did because it's the only time that I enjoy making phone calls. I think my mom really wishes that I walked more places more often these days.
Do you have a set route for talking to your mom, or is it just like whenever you happen to be going somewhere?
That's a really good question. It's primarily when I feel like walking my bike home from work after work. I think that's when I'm best on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Which you can now.
Which I can now. Because, well, I'm
home.
Near work. That seemed like a great segue, but I'm like, actually, I always kind of lived close by. I just didn't own the house.
Right, right.
Now that I own it, though, it is so much easier to walk.
Yeah. There was a thing I was curious about for both of you. Mm-hmm. Have you collaborated on a project together before? Because you exist in similar circles.
Mm. And why not?
Also put on the spot. We've agreed to a 90-year pact, and there's a third party in this in this pact as well. That is Jude from Sugar Will Works. Mm-hmm. It was actually her idea during the BTA gala this past fall. We stayed far too long.
We had more fun than I expected.
the BTA was so generous with their wine that night.
They were.
And by the end of the night, we had all agreed to a 90-year pact. We're going to ride our bikes together until we're 90 years old.
Until we're 90.
Oh, there we go.
So that's like a collaboration.
Yeah. So not really.
Meant like 90 years from now.
I was going to say, not really a 90-year pact. It's more like a however many years
well,
that would
you know,
be.
Life expectancy is increasing these days.
I'll be honest. I don't fully remember the pact. I've been told that we made it since that, and I'm all about this pact.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. So whatever 90 minus 23 is. Yeah.
90-ish.
This pact could evolve as like the memory sort of
changes. You can tell me we'd agreed on anything. I'm like, sure.
Do you guys have plans for holidays and or solstice?
Oh, great question.
Solstice is kind of a holiday too. Yeah, you're here.
Yeah, it'll be my first Christmas in Portland and my first Christmas away from my parents. So that's interesting. We're planning a fat bike adventure.
Ooh.
I'm going to go try to find some snow.
I think I was invited to this on Facebook.
Were you?
And I'm going to be across the country. I'll never be farther away from your event than I will be when that happens, sadly.
But you will find some snow.
Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. Apparently there's no snow in Vermont yet.
What?
Yeah. From what I hear.
It was seasonally warm. I was on the East Coast last week, and it was like 70 degrees. I was in short sleeves.
Really? That's right. You're from there, right?
Oh, I'm from Texas, but my parents live in Georgia, so that's where I was. I went for the early Christmas.
Snow in Georgia?
None. No. 70 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah. I was riding my bike in shorts, and it was really comfortable.
So did you take a bike with you when you went there, or did you have
a
bike that you... Okay, yeah.
No, my first time flying a bike across the country,
mm-hmm.
and it was for a pretty specific thing. I went to go and get my professional mountain bike instructor certification
for
level one.
They do that there.
They did that there. Yep, they were offering... typically, the company is based out of like... Their two home bases are in Whistler, BC, and then down in Australia. But they mix in courses around the world. And it's a growing program. They've been around for, I think, less than a decade.
Yeah.
So this one was in this little spot called Mulberry Gap in the North Georgia Mountains.
Oh, nice.
Right down the street from an Imba Epic Trail. So that was pretty cool. Definitely a different riding experience than out here, but... It was wonderful to check it out. Great and great people. The course, I felt like I learned a lot as a mountain biker, just my own skill improvement.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I now feel a little better about teaching people.
So you can't give away any of the secrets, I'm sure. But
not for free.
What would one or two free takeaways be from your experience learning how to teach people how to mountain bike?
Risk management is key.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Don't hurt somebody.
It's an inherently dangerous sport, and it's just good to always be aware of how you are, how the bike is. So we always check ourselves and our bike before we go out on a ride. And then just your environment and what you can control and what you can't control. And then if you're interested in learning more, reach out to me. I'm a long ways off to actually hosting courses. I'm going to hopefully motivate some of my friends to go and spend some time in the woods and allow me to practice on them. And then maybe by next, this upcoming spring, summer, I'll be feeling ready to go.
Nice. This is not unlike, you know, people who are learning to be massage therapists.
Yeah.
You know, they ask their friends if they could practice on
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Got to start by kneading your friend's shoulders.
That's right.
Yeah.
And throwing them on a mountain bike.
Right, right.
It was also making me realize how similar
like teaching biking is across different things. Like I volunteered for the Community Cycling Center a few years ago, leading their bike camps. And or no, this was their after school bike clubs, actually. And before you go out, like what you do is you do a personal safety check. You know, mm-hmm. you check all of your stuff to make sure there's nothing like hanging out that could get caught as you're riding. Then you do the bike safety check. And it's nice to know the same is true for adults on the mountain mm-hmm. bike side of it.
Yeah. And actually, it seems like that would be a good practice for anybody anytime. But I know I don't do that. I probably should.
Yeah.
At some point.
Once a week at least, you know, check your tire pressure, check your quick release. That's such, you don't want.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Loose wheels are super bummer. So make sure that those
are
staying
nice
and
tight. I guess on a mountain bike, they would come loose a lot easier.
Well, in transport, sometimes you're taking wheels on and off, and so you always just want to make sure they're really, really secure,
yeah.
really tight.
Oh, I was going to ask you, how mm-hmm. did you transport your bike from one coast to the other?
The way there, I flew with it.
Okay.
On Delta Airlines.
And, they charge you an arm and a leg?
Yeah, they did. But
was it worth it?
It was worth it. Also, I have a little – my dad works for Delta, so I got a deal on the ticket for me. The bike was outrageously expensive, but the seat for my person was not. And then I used Bike Flights, which is a local company, to ship it home.
Okay,
and I'm expecting
yeah.
it to arrive entirely perfectly tomorrow afternoon.
So when you use Bike Flights, how does mm-hmm. that work out? Do you have to take it like significantly apart?
It was my very first time using Bike Flights, so I had borrowed a hard-sided case to get my bike out there.
Okay.
And it was small, it's sized for a road bike, so I did have to, you know, both wheels came off, the handlebar came off, the derailleur came off. That was really stressful.
That's the part that I would worry about.
Yeah,
I'd be
so
worried
stressful.
About not being able to put it back on the right way. Mr. Flores would have no problem with that.
I suppose not.
I'm guessing.
Why would you say that?
Because you're always taking your bike apart.
That is
practice
true.
Does help.
Yeah.
You got skills, Aaron.
Yeah.
I just like taking things apart, really.
And putting them back together or just leaving them disassembled?
Well, by necessity, I have to put them back together.
Eventually. Yeah, and then I had to remove the front brake as well. So
okay.
It was more than I wanted to do, but mm-hmm. it was in there very securely. And then when I got to Georgia, I had a few days to build it up and make sure that everything was functioning right correctly before I went to the course. And then when I got done with the course, I just took it apart, put it back into the box, printed out a shipping label, used a little bit of tape, packing tape to put it on there. And my mom saw it out the door. I had already flown home. They picked it up after I had left Georgia. So
yeah, a lot of bike logistics can sometimes involve like having someone else pick up your bike for you.
Because
mm-hmm. I remember I shipped mine via Amtrak back in 2009. And that was one of the things that we had to do was... Well, we have to find someone to pick up our bike because we're going to the East Coast and our bikes are going back to Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, we found friendly people at home. So
yeah, and always trying to find a bike shop that you can coordinate with, too.
I wonder if there's a bike shop like that that would do that for you. Leah,
in
do you
Portland?
Know of one?
I don't know. You know, let me go back and check. It's So, yes, I ship bikes through the shop.
Right.
But one thing that's really funny is seeing how that it's affected seasonally. In that it took me a while to pick up on the fact that we get it most often in like May and August because of people shipping their bikes to colleges.
I realized I'm not sure if we specified that you work at and are the owner of Gladys Bikes.
Yeah.
Up on Northeast Alberta and 29th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good spot. Yeah, so you do a fair amount of shipping then?
Yeah.
But a lot for people traveling around like the school schedule.
Yeah, I think so. That seems to be the most common.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm still trying to figure out if I want to ship my bike. I'm pretty sure I arrived on the answer being no.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Boston.
Oh.
Yeah. And I know people there that I might be able to borrow a bike from for a day or two.
They have bike share in Boston. Just use that
they
map.
Do. That's true. Nice ride. Mm-hmm. Is it? No. I'm sorry. That's Minneapolis.
Hubway. Mm-hmm.
Hubway. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And our friend Jeremy works for Hubway. At least he did last time I was there. So.
Jeremy from
Mendelsohn
from Critical
Transit. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I just really wish I had a folding bike for times like that.
Right. And that's what you
it's
were saying.
It's so hard for me not to just say Brompton, everybody. Just get yourself a Brompton.
And that's not because you know somebody in the business.
No, not at all.
I'm not sure that would have been the right tool for my trip.
No, I suppose not.
Yeah. What was
but they are super cool.
Isn't there a website that talks about like modding Bromptons?
Bromptification.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's .com.
Of course there
right.
is.
I'm not sure. Because I remember, I don't know if I was allowed to say this. Someone we know was once considering the idea of doing a how to mod out your Brompton thing.
And oh, really?
I don't know if that exists or not, so I'm not going to say anything more about it. But a lot of people do kind of take this thing that's designed to be kind of a city bike.
It's surprisingly versatile.
Yeah. Well, and it's sturdy, right? Because it's steel, for one.
For one.
So it's harder to break the frame than otherwise.
It's a pretty thick steel, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's meant to be folded up and, you know, kind of thrown around, you know, via, you know, moving from place to place. It's the way it's folded. It protects like all of the fragile parts or the breakable parts that would normally, you know, you'd worry about if you were like, say, laying your bike down underneath a bus.
Right. It's tender insides.
Right. Right.
And the folks in Path Less Pedaled, I think, did an entire series on touring with
them. They did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big Adventure, Small Wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked to them right before they left on that adventure back. That was 2011, I think. So it's been a while. The thing I'm having a hard time now realizing is like when Russ and Laura came in for the movie commentary last week.
Yes.
We've known them for 5 years, so that's pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, you've known them for 5 years.
I've known them for 5 years. You've known them since whenever.
Five minus however many.
Right.
I think 3 years.
Is it 90 years?
Yeah, 90 years.
We made a 90-year pact with them. Yeah, unbeknownst to them, I think. So,
is there a bottle top opener in the house?
Oh, man,
I'm
sorry.
I'm getting real thirsty. No, yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Thank you for saying something about that. We would have gone the whole show without noticing. thank you. I'm sorry
about that.
There we go.
And while Jocelyn's opening these beers, we should also mention that these beers have been provided to us.
Generously.
Generously, thank you, by the Beer Mongers.
Mm-hmm. At Southeast Division and 12th. Yeah.
Well, there's always a seat for you.
There's always a seat for you. Sometimes there's even a seat for you outside the Beer Mongers.
That's right.
Depending on how the night goes.
When there's
especially
a lot of bikes.
Especially if there's
a
Timbers game.
Oh, man.
So that, yeah, have you been there for that?
No, I'm usually at the games.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, I love that they're so... such rad supporters. I saw their photos from Columbus. They went out to see the cup game.
Yeah, Sean was there because we were at the Beer Mongers the day of the big game.
Correct. That was during the Kimmy Cross.
That's right. Yeah, the LA Cross event. And Sean had actually gone out to see the game happening in that one of those Midwestern states.
Columbus.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey.
That's in Iowa.
They're
right?
Not all the same, Bo.
I'm such a terrible person.
That's what I'm going for.
No. They were. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people there, so it was an exciting place to be. I have never been more afraid of people in my life than I was of people
it was so packed, and then. Thank God we won.
I know. Like, what would have happened if not? We would have been probably.
I don't know. There
would
have
been injured.
It was such a weird mob mentality. Just all of a sudden, like everybody's hugging everybody. Like, there's these nonsensical. Well, they're nonsensical to me. I'm sure they made sense to everybody else. Or like, just these like sort of soccer chants that are going on. And,
right.
And I love soccer. I love watching soccer, especially during World Cup time. But it was just something weird about being around a lot of people who were really inebriated, like all chanting at the same time and hugging each other.
Right. You said it was somewhat cultish.
Yeah. There was a Branch Davidian kind of feel
something
to
like
the
that.
Air.
I'm sure we're making tons and tons of friends.
Wait, so have you ever been to the Army? Like, have you ever had the chance to go to
I've not. Games? I've been to the Thorns games.
Oh, those are rad too.
Those are amazing. Yeah. I love them. And I would say I was probably one of the ones not inebriated, but definitely chanting along.
Mm.
It was just because it wasn't within the context of a stadium live, you know, I get it. Team that you're kind of rooting for has a play or wins, you're happy, you're going to cheer. But in the meantime, there's this part of me that's like, my cheering is not going to transfer through the television. Oh. And
people get really irrational when watching sports.
It's true.
Yeah, Aaron's too much of a realist to be a sports fan.
Too grounded in reality,
at least from afar.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious. I'll ask you later because you just ate some pizza. but I will share. And Leah, what are your how into the Timbers do you get?
I'm not.
Okay, you're not really a sports person.
Yeah, I can't get it up for it.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I played soccer growing up. And
I was, by get it up, you mean the flag that you'd be waving in support
exactly,
of your local
exactly.
team.
Exactly. That's exactly what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I have a similar problem.
Yeah.
But no, it is interesting. I like things that bring people together. And I'm a big fan of that.
I totally agree. I say so often that I look for church without religion, and I think sports provides that.
That's exactly Certainly. What sports yeah. is. Yeah.
No, it's like like the tent revival mm-hmm. kind of feel.
Sometimes it's even sports and religion, depending on who you're watching. So, yeah. So I was going to ask you, Jocelyn, how long have you been a Timbers fan, and were you a part of the Timbers army before it was somewhat sanitized?
Was that a knock on the MLS there?
I think when Portland got bigger in Major League Soccer, they had to kind of clean up the army a little bit so it was able to be televised. Because I remember there was some real choice chants that I thought were great.
No more fuck words in the chants?
Fewer.
Oh.
I think there are still some, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, you hear them for sure. You're supposed to say bloody.
Oh, is that it?
That's what I yell.
Really?
Okay.
Because it's more fun to say anyways.
It's a worse word.
Yeah.
In Britain.
Because who says bloody these days?
And you're just like, even in Britain.
Even in Britain. I've been going to Timbers games pretty consistently for the past 3 years.
Okay.
Prior to that, I wasn't super tuned into it. My first job out of college was with a professional basketball team, mm-hmm. and it was a really intense environment. And I quickly learned that professional sports is very different from amateur sports.
Gotcha.
And I got a little like it was a bummer, like it being mostly about money. I think was a really difficult thing for me to kind of to work with. So I totally fell out of love of all professional sports.
A level of disillusionment there.
Yeah, and it maybe it had just been the team that I was working with that was having a tough year, and so we weren't really having as much fun as I associate with like sports being too.
Sure.
And I think that's a big difference with the Timbers, and I'm a big Blazers fan now as well. It's just that they're fun to watch. Like even when they're not winning games, it can be a little more painful when the Timbers aren't winning games. But
not when the Blazers aren't winning
You know,
games.
This season, like, everybody kind of is realistic. And there's so much – I mean, they're doing surprisingly well, and they're really fun. We have a crew come over for almost every game to the house to watch.
See, and this is the thing I'm talking about.
They bring people together.
I don't necessarily understand it, but I can support it when it brings people together.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Like at the Beer Mongers at Southeast Division and 12th. So.
Way to bring it back.
I was curious. We've got two things we want to talk about. We want to talk about Como Rebbe,
mm-hmm.
and we want to talk about home ownership. So who wants to go first?
Let's talk about home ownership.
Yeah. I'll talk about home ownership.
Right.
Yeah. What do you want to know?
Leah, you own a home.
I own a home.
How hard is that to bring that about?
How hard is it to bring it about?
Right.
Like, I'm not a great person to ask that question. My process was unrealistically easy, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. We started looking, and then we actually, our budget was not huge, shockingly, as a bike shop owner.
Like, right.
Yeah.
You're not rolling in the cash.
I'm not rolling in it.
You can't get it up.
Yeah,
for
and I'm,
buying
I can't
a
get
house.
It up, and I'm not rolling.
And by getting it up, I mean your bank account balance for that down payment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so at any given time, there were like 5 houses on the market,
mm-hmm.
I think, that were in our price range. But then someone through the bike community actually got in touch with us. And
oh,
we have this friend who's also named Leah, who's also a friend of Jocelyn's.
Small world.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
That is thinking about selling
her house.
Who's
also in a 90-year pack.
She might be. Yeah.
I wish she was. I miss her very much.
But they're like, she happens to be in town for like 2 days, and she's thinking about selling her house. So we went over there, and I was like, hey, I like your house.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to buy it. And she's like, sweet, I don't want to have to do all the work to put it on the market.
That's interesting.
I'm like, this is so easy.
Nice.
Right.
So for me, getting a house was a lot like getting a job. It felt like it's mm-hmm. just, you know, working your connections and networking, which I did not expect like it was going to be.
Sure. Well, that's a really interesting thing because I think a lot of people assume that the only way to get a house is to have billions of dollars stashed away and then just like drop
billions.
That all at once. Yes.
It's really crazy. We put some offers in on places and people would routinely offer like $30,000 over the asking price and ridiculous mm-hmm. stuff like that, which...
Is it just because the housing market is like in such high demand here?
Yeah. We have one of the tightest housing markets in the country right now. Yeah.
It's really hard to get in from everything I understand. I mean, it's hard to get in renting, really, in most places, unless mm-hmm. you're like way out somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy. But also, like, I don't know. I when I talk to my friends and folks I know, try to focus less on the negative aspects of it, because I think there's this whole mythology around buying a house in Portland at this point and how impossible it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just in that it's everything is so expensive and you'll never find a place and we're getting priced out. And it's like it's undeniable that things are really changing and everything's just the prices are inflated,
right,
what they should be. But still, there are a lot of people that I know like who are in my same price range of not making a lot of money, who have been able to find homes that are really great for them in the past year or so.
Yeah.
So you can do it, guys.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Thanks. How does owning a home change, if it changes anything, about the way that you commute, the way that you store your bikes?
Oh my God! The main reason we wanted to buy a home was to have like bike storage.
Okay.
And
what does it look like?
It's still getting built out.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what my partner's doing tonight. As I'm here, he's working more on that. I think just to have a permanent place to put all of the bikes and to like actually bolt down a workbench instead of kind of making a makeshift thing and wherever happens to work in the home that you're living in.
Well, that's
throw an old yoga mat down on the ground and put your bike upside down on that.
That is the problem with renting, is that you really can't create your space. Even as we have, I feel like most of the stuff that I've done is not on par with what I'd like it to be if I was going to be there for longer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's really great in that way, and it means that we can just continue to accumulate at a really unreasonable level.
There we go. See, that's like the downside, and that's kind of like the fighting simpler living. Like if you want to have fewer things to worry about, it does seem that owning a home would in some ways make that more difficult, but tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Cuz I want to believe.
Well, I think I'm just I'm not the one to look to for simple living advice. Yeah.
Get out.
Do you all know who Iris Apfel is?
No.
The name does not sound familiar.
She's wonderful. Have you heard of
no,
her?
No, not yet.
I think she's in her 80s or 90s maybe even. She's a fashion icon.
Signed a pact.
Yeah, she's basically who we want to be.
Uh-huh.
she's like a 90-year-old fashion icon who lives in New York City.
Okay.
And she didn't start to be recognized until she was older in life. It's not like she was a young, beautiful woman. And she's very unique looking.
Yeah.
It's not like she looks like some pretty woman that's had a lot of plastic surgery or something. And she has an outlook on life that I just really appreciate more. Like, I was reading an interview with her in New York Times, and they were asking her about the normcore movement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I have no idea what that is. And they're like, oh, it's basically people dressing in, like, really boring things, and that's the new fashion. She's like, oh, I want nothing to do with that. and then they asked her about, like, simple living and like getting rid of stuff and like decluttering being the new thing. She's like, oh no. She's like, I think that people who have so little things just have no soul.
Oh my God.
She's like, I love carrying around like knickknacks that I've collected throughout my life. They remind me of the places I've been and the people I meet, and they keep me young. And I'm like, yeah, Iris. Yeah.
There you go.
She's kind of just like justifying my mild hoarding.
Hey, well, you know, but that there's like the two sides of that sword. There's the side that cuts towards like everyone should be minimalist and everybody should get rid of stuff because stuff distracts you from the things that are really important in life. But then there's also the thing of like being place-based and being able to own like a power washer, say, or whatever it is that helps you do what you want to do, that, you know, if you had to drag your stuff across town or to a new town every couple of years, like I do, and like you've done, Aaron, and Jocelyn, are you a migrator?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, there's like that constant trudge, and it's not like it's not but often, but it happens regularly, and you do have to kind of box up all your stuff. So there's something to be said for creating a place and being able to have some stability so that you can actually kind of create a lifestyle.
Totally, because beyond – like before, it was just like the binge and purge mentality.
Yeah.
That I would like get rid of most of my stuff anytime I moved and then somehow get most of it back, if not more.
Right. Well, and it's also like the myth that simplicity means minimalism.
Because
sure. That
and
doesn't
I was going to
necessarily...
say, like, you know, just because you have like less stuff and you're moving from place to place to place, like, you know, every other year or so, as I do, does that really mean like we're living any simpler than somebody who owns a home and, you know, just maybe has more stability of like the items that they have,
or, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Moving can burn a lot of fuel, for one.
There you go.
Speaking of fuel, this is almost totally unrelated, but I just learned like an hour ago that Google Maps now has the gasoline price for fuel stations. Like when you search for gas stations in the Google Maps app, it tells you how much gas costs there. And I assume it's
the
cheapest
price.
I find
this highly suspect.
Somebody's making some kind of money.
It's
kind of
like how like there was rumor, and I don't know if this was ever substantiated, but there was rumor that like Google Maps would often route you near like fast food joints.
No way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that you were more apt to, you know, stop in and like buy a Taco Bell.
That's
whatever.
Fascinating. Well, yeah, because I mean. Yeah. Honestly, that's how they make their money. You search for something and then you get a sponsored result. So if you search for directions somewhere, you get a sponsored route. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe. This was something I had heard. I've never been able to substantiate because how do you search for that? For
right.
One?
Have you guys read the book Whiskey Tango Foxtrot?
No.
I think it's is it a Wilco album?
It was a Wilco.
Yeah.
Album.
Okay. The book's better.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's Whiskey Hotel.
Okay. That's never mind.
No, it's a local author, David Schaefer, I think. Sorry if that's the wrong name. But it's I don't know, kind of a paranoid, futuristic tale about like a Google-esque organization taking over our data and selling it. And
yeah.
I read it and
put. You mean like Facebook?
It sounded a little bit like my mom. Yeah. Well, no, but like putting it down, I'm like, well, this actually isn't like a book. It's probably just true.
This could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there was I'll just keep on referencing things I've found on the internet. There was a podcast I was listening to this morning, This American Life, that had a story about these kids at some private after school program or something where they were doing a musical about gentrification. Oh. So all these kids were basically kind of setting up this big tech company sort of thing and knocking it down. And, yeah. That was a fascinating story. So if anybody's interested, it's there. ThisAmericanLife.org at Southeast Division and 12.
I feel like we should all just share about the most interesting thing we read now.
Yeah, oh, I'm open to other input if there's anything that anybody else, rose to mind.
Yeah, let me do a plug for, in the same vein of This American Life, Serial Season 2
it's back.
Out.
Yeah, and they're talking about Bo Bergdahl, who was the guy from Idaho who had a less than stellar homecoming because some people claim it was desertion, some people don't, but he was trying to make some waves, and the story's already fascinating.
It is. Yeah. Yep, ran into it. Highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad they were covering this story because it was one that I didn't hear much about, and it sounds like it'd be fascinating, and so far it is. But also, I think episode 2 starts with them calling the Taliban. So,
for real?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so there it is. This has been your podcast corner on the SprocketPodcast.com. What are some things, what are the benefits? What's the things that you think of, Leah, about having a home?
Well, what drove you to own a home? Like, I guess other than just, I don't want to have to find a rent or a place to rent every other year.
I think. Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking about it for many, many years, but never wanted to because I have commitment issues in general. Mm. But then I opened a business and got married. And so I was like,
those are two big things.
Those are like commitments. So, I figured
way to face those issues head on. Good
thanks,
on you.
Guys. Thanks. No, it just seemed like the right decision. Honestly, it seemed like a good investment, something that I was positioned to do and had planned to do for a long time. And it stopped being scary, the thought of just like committing to being in Portland. And it's been great. It's honestly not that different from renting.
Ah, okay.
I think
you're still paying every month.
You're still paying every month. And you get to choose the color of your walls.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of fun. And you can talk about the things that you want to do in terms of renovation and maybe never do them, which is kind of like what renting is.
Yeah.
I had a really great conversation with my neighbor right when I moved in. She's just a hoot and like a really big part of the neighborhood, like founded the community garden and everyone knows her. Not to her face, but I call her Wilson a lot of times. Because there's a fence and people come and they like shout at her over the fence like a home improvement. It's adorable.
Right.
But when we first moved in, she's been there since the early 90s and she started telling us about the people that had lived there over the years and like all of her experiences with them and everything that she'd seen.
Lived there like that specific house?
That specific house and the people that had owned it throughout the years. And that was like when it really clicked for me that home ownership is really just like long-term tenancy. It's like you are a steward of the home for however long. It's not
like you don't have to finish out the mortgage, basically.
Yeah. Well, and also it's just, you know, the home has a history beyond you, before you and beyond you, I guess.
Right. Like somebody built it and usually somebody else lived there before you did, unless it's brand new.
Yeah.
And square.
Yep.
That's the thing I've noticed with a lot of new houses in Portland is that like they're all super square.
I love that.
It's like there's this cubist sort of thing. Yeah, I kind of like it too, except it doesn't meld well with the things around it. So I like those houses on their own, but they look weird in neighborhoods.
Which I kind of appreciate. I know it's a really unpopular opinion, but I'm supposed to say that I want things to be craftsmen's. But I don't know. I like the way that design continues to evolve, and I like seeing that actually realized on our streets, even if it means that it's not necessarily a beautifully curated mixture.
Yeah. It wasn't a Craftsman home. Wasn't that a Sears brand?
A Sears Craftsman.
I'm pretty
the
sure.
The tools were Craftsman.
I thought there was.
I don't think a Craftsman home necessarily
means that.
I thought
you could buy a
that.
Kit.
You could. My dad grew up in a Sears house that they bought.
Really?
Through a catalog. Yeah.
Wow.
I could be wrong about parts of that, but I think I'm right about parts of it, too.
You.
So. Maybe they should get on this whole tiny house thing.
Yeah, they should.
You have a Craftsman tiny house.
Totally. Yeah.
You can order that from a catalog, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? So, well, congratulations. I'm glad that you're placed in a place and you'll be there for a bit.
Thanks. I'll be here.
Biggest surprise.
I feel like I should have something really important to say
here. Oh, yeah. I didn't expect this.
Wilson.
And Wilson? honestly, no. I think I can't say enough that it's really not that different from renting. Right. You have some more control over the situation. I think the biggest surprise will be probably be when something goes wrong and we're like, oh, shit, there's no landlord.
Right.
We just have to deal with this. Yeah.
The fridge went out. We got to call him. Wait, we got to call us.
Yeah. So nothing bad's happened so far.
Okay, yeah.
What do you think about, is there something we said about moving into and like making a new home in a place? I guess did you move in shortly before your marriage or just after? What was the timing like for that?
We have this like weird marriage thing going on. we filled out our paperwork, as I call it. Like we signed each other's papers.
Yeah. Like,
I'm really romantic about marriage.
That's fantastic.
Back in March or April. And then we had like a wedding in September. So, technically, we moved in after we got married, but kind of before. Yeah.
But right around that same time. So
right
like,
around that same time.
Symbolically starting a new life with somebody else, like in a new place.
Yeah.
Is there anything that might be edging too much on the romance?
No, no. You can edge on the romance part of it.
Come right up to the edge.
You know, this might be sharing a little bit too much, guys.
Please do.
We had lived together before marriage, actually.
I like how both you and I did that.
I know, for 3 whole years.
Right. So, in sin. So,
sorry.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't hugely different with that, but I think it is fun to know that you're, like, settling into a place with someone that you really care about. It's the first time we've lived alone, actually.
Oh, sure.
Oh, there's something.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah, I love living with roommates.
Because that's the question. I mean, you could buy a house and then you could share it with people, so you could mooch off of their paychecks, or you could take that newfound privacy and just have your own space.
We're kind of doing it in between the two. We lived alone for like 3 months, and now we have so many friends that are constantly going on adventures.
Oh yeah.
By friends, I mean my brother.
Oh yeah.
A lot.
Oh, yeah. Your twin brother.
My twin brother. Like, and then just like coming and needing a landing place, and it's really great to be able to be those people who are just like, yeah, we have a bedroom you could stay in for free however long.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I really like, well, maybe this speaks to my own fear of commitment, but I kind of like having housemates that aren't around forever. It's like you like Aaron Flores. He's going to be there for 2 months, and then he's going to be gone.
That's it.
Yeah. So, no, it's just like it's nice to kind of have a space to share. And, you know, longer than like the weekend, longer than like whatever couch surfer wants to sleep on your floor or something. Mm-hmm. But not as long as like a life partner, maybe.
Yeah. You just get the honeymoon phase of roommates.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's nice, I think. So, yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
And we look forward to seeing your house someday.
You guys are invited. I wrote Aaron Fast at one time.
And everybody listening to the
really
podcast
nice.
Also
right
wants to come over
to
and see your
awesome
house.
Park.
Right next
to
a park.
To the location.
You guys are so discreet. I'm like an overshare. I'm like, do you want to know my address?
All of our listeners would like to know where you live. Before you divulge that, maybe we should talk about Team Como Rebbe.
Sure.
Yeah. So what's happening with Como Rebbe? Because you had one trip under your belt last time we talked to you, right?
Oh, is that it?
I think.
Yeah.
How many trips under your belt now?
We did 5 trips this summer.
Nice.
This year. Yeah. And then our second annual Fatsgiving as well.
Oh, yeah. So describe just briefly what it is for anybody who didn't hear the last one.
Sure. Kamurabi Cycling Team is a women's bikepacking team. What we're trying to do is raise awareness and education to try to motivate more ladies to grab their friends and go on overnight adventures. It doesn't have to be an epic scale. It can be in your backyard. But there's something to be said about packing up everything you need on your bike and just taking off into the woods for a day.
Yeah.
So
five.
Yeah. In total, we did five trips.
What kind of places did you go to?
Oh, we saw such a great smattering of different places around Oregon. So our very first trip was in the White River Wilderness area, which is over by Duffer.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite town name in Oregon, by the way.
Duffer.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I've never heard that said out loud.
Yeah.
It's so much better than I
Isn't
imagined.
It? It's great. Actually, the Duffer store has a great dinner every night because you go
in.
Oh,
I didn't know this.
Yeah. And they make, I don't know, they make like quantities of lasagna and that sort of thing.
Wow.
You walk in. Yeah. And you say, hey, I'd like the dinner tonight. And then they're like, okay, we're serving potatoes and lasagna or whatever.
Potatoes and lasagna.
We're going high carb.
It's kind of a bad match.
It's exactly what I have for dinner
there,
every night. Thank
that's
you.
What you would want.
Yeah. Have you been to Friend, Oregon?
Yeah.
In the same neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Friend
There's
is...
There's nothing going on at Friend. It's
no.
like an old schoolhouse. That's it. There's a store that people like to think is open. It's not open.
Is it never?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I think
Did
I went
look
past
open.
That. And I'm pretty sure... Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I remember that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing going on there.
Nope. But then you're very quickly back into the White River Wilderness area. And it's beautiful. And we saw a snake. And we saw
one snake. Just one.
We all freaked out a little bit. It was really cute.
What kind of snake?
It was a rattlesnake.
Okay.
Yeah.
How big was it?
I didn't see
Important
it. I heard the rattle, and it sounded ginormous.
Right.
Where else? We did a great trip up near Mount Adams.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of alpine lakes up there.
I love Mount Adams.
Beautiful.
And its surrounding environs.
Yeah, I'd never been up there before.
Did you go up kind of the way past Trout Lake?
No, we started on the north side near Randall.
Oh, yeah, Randall.
Yep, and then headed south and then down and around. We stayed at Lake Takalak.
Yeah.
Beautiful spot. Unbelievable view of Mount Adams across the lake.
It is. I swam there one time. It was nice.
It's wonderful. And we went swimming too. I think that was our July trip. So it was in the heat of the summer. It was wonderful.
That's when Adele and I were there too, back in 2013. Mm-hmm. And just super hot. But you get up to Takalak, is that how you say it?
Takalak. Yeah. Lake Takalak.
And you get up there and it's just like, first there's this beautiful mountain view right over the lake.
It's unbelievable.
And then you can jump into the water and kind of splash this perfect reflection until it's totally gone.
Yeah.
And then it like comes back because there's nobody else up there.
Yeah. And we saw the Milky Way that night just like splayed out over the, I mean, it was, that was probably a top notch trip. That was great.
Did you do Baby Shoe Pass then too?
No, I haven't ever hit Baby Shoe Pass.
All right. That's kind
of
creepy.
I just got those tires from Compass. But, so now I have to.
Which tires?
The Baby Shoe Pass tires.
Oh, where did they name one after?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Fascinating.
They're supple. I highly recommend them.
Okay. Right, right.
That's the key word. You have to call them supple.
Are they
super supple?
Are they supple and smooth, or are they supple and knobby?
Smooth.
Okay.
Hella supple.
I'm imagining it right now. Very cool.
Yeah.
How big are these tires?
Oh, the ones I have it on my Pereira Mix-D up front.
Oh, yeah. So. I noticed your bag, but I didn't notice your tires.
They're 650 by 42s.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's like on the wider side.
Yeah.
But big enough to do some fun things.
Yeah, definitely. Take it off-road or on-road. Like, it's really comfortable on a whole mix of environments.
I wish I had that kind of tire when we did Baby Shoe Pass because there's some washy gravel up there that we were doing 32s.
Yeah.
And,
It's like, you know, the movement toward fat, I think... Is I mean, there's a lot of things in the cycling industry that I am like, oh, that's just marketing. That's just marketing. And I can say that because I'm in marketing in the cycling industry. But I feel
this.
But I feel like the move toward wider tires is really, I hope it just makes the ride so much more comfortable.
Yeah.
For folks.
Couldn't agree more. Like someone asked me the other day what my favorite new trend is in the cycling industry. And like, that people are getting bigger tires.
Yep.
They're just undeniably more comfortable to ride on. I think it makes people enjoy everything they're doing from commuting to like more long distance bike packing and what have you.
Well, and it's kind of steering away and, you know, not to vilify the sort of racer end of things, but we've had this culture for so long that biking is only for racing. and it's yeah. steering away from that.
Mm-hmm. And skinny tires are like the Lycra of the traction option world.
Yeah. And, you know, use your skinny tires if you want to go fast and only be on road. That's fine.
Right. Or but use them if the you majority... like riding gravel. We're not telling you what to do.
Definitely sure. not. I'm not sure. going to get into that conversation sure. at all.
But in the meantime, like, I would say that's really not the majority of riding. You know, the majority of riding should be, you know, just for comfort.
Really,
for,
yeah, just fun and mm-hmm. comfortable, yeah. where you don't have to worry about slipping and sliding or getting flats. And yeah. that's where the fatter tires are really.
Yeah, because even masochists, like, do whatever they do for fun. It's not like, like the ultimate aim is to enjoy the experience yeah. when you're having it.
I'd ride that gravel on 32s.
Yeah, yeah. I would do it again with wider tires.
Well, just for the risk of, like, sliding out.
Well, so, honestly, you
know, that's part of the fun for me.
Yeah, get a little loose. Yeah. Going around those corners is good.
I would love to have I would love to have a tire named after the place and, like, ride that in the place it was named for. I think that'd be, yeah. So you got to do this at some point.
I will. And you should check out Compass Tires because, I mean, I'll plug them. I've ridden a number
Take
of their
drink,
models
Krista.
Now. and they're a local company too, based in Seattle.
Okay, I was going to ask. Seattle. Okay, yep. Northwest local. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
The bike I rode here tonight also.
Compass.
Rat Trap Pass. I don't know where Rat Trap Pass is.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
We're going to have to find it mm-hmm. and ride it on those times.
Word of warning, though, with the Compass Tires. I don't know, Leah, if you found this to be an issue, but they're really remarkably difficult to get on and off. Like, really tight.
More than Schwalbe. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Oh. So that's a strike against them so far, except the local thing I'm still into.
I took them to a local bike shop, and I was stoked to have them help me out with that.
Right. You just get a professional tire install. Yeah. They come out with, like, pneumatic tools and stuff.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. They feel great. Yeah. Whatever Revolver Cycles did, which is my local bike shop, they did a great job.
Yeah, that's our friend Steven's local bike shop now, too.
Oh, right.
Because apparently Vancouver, Washington has shit for bike shops now.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I'm sure there is one or two of them, but Bad Monkey was like the big shop there on the west side of town for a while, and it's closed down now.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, Vancouver needs a bike shop.
So he comes across the bridge to get his bike work done.
Yep.
I thought that it would be really hard to have a bike shop in Vancouver just because Portland is so known for it, and also the sales tax issue.
Yeah.
Because, we have so many people coming from Washington, like, all over to not pay the sales tax in Vancouver.
Especially
so close.
For bigger purchases.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be really hard to sell a frame in Vancouver,
That's
I
a good
imagine.
Point.
Yeah.
Not a business opportunity.
Mm-hmm. When I lived in Vancouver, I would drive to Portland to go bike shopping.
Really?
So, yeah. Well, or, like, bike parts
Case
shopping.
Case in point.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's what everybody should do. The traffic doesn't really bother you at all. It only takes about 10 minutes.
Come to Portland. Buy some shit.
Live across the state. State line. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. That's probably the cause of most of our traffic, at least in North Portland. But we digress.
But we digress. Yeah. Back to Komorabi,
shall we? Yes. Okay. Yeah.
A few... We
should have a radio show. You're good at this.
No, thanks. I'm on the Kibu Bike Show, actually, so as it were. We rode out to the coast and back one weekend. That was super fun. We took the Trask out. So that's mostly unpaved. It goes through Forest Service lands and some private property.
I think Adele was talking about that when she was on last time.
Oh, right.
I think she did the Trask River Road.
Great route. Yeah. Great route. And then we stayed out there. We actually had an awesome day hanging out at Jacobson Salt Company. Has their farm right there on Neatarts Bay.
Yeah, they harvest sea salt, right?
They do.
I think I heard
delicious
them on OPV.
Yeah. And so we stayed right on their property.
Take seawater and evaporate?
Yeah,
amazing business opportunity.
Water from the ocean for free into this building and then refine it. And the process is... I don't mean to simplify it. It's not just pumping salt water. Like at some point in time, and we weren't allowed to see everything. There was definitely some behind. But the great, great people, and they spit roasted a lamb for us.
Ooh.
And
wow,
that was a really fun party.
Nice.
And then we took the Nestucca River Road back to town.
Those are mostly paved. Yeah, aren't those like the two cool roads to go to the
Beautiful.
Coast on?
Yeah,
yeah.
There's like 5 miles on 101 that you had to contend with.
Okay.
But otherwise,
but 101's pretty.
It is.
Just more busy.
It's a little stressful environment,
especially compared to where you other places you were.
Yeah, typically. And then the last trip we did was the on the Barlow Road. We parked right at the base of Mount Hood and Gummy. Govey Camp, and then rode the Barlow Road all the way down, and then crossed the White River, which was exciting.
Oh, wow.
We had to carry our bikes across the river.
Oh, so this is the east side Barlow Road.
Correct.
Okay, as opposed to, because I know it goes down the west side towards Sandy, too.
Right.
But this was on the east side.
This was on the east side. Well, it was kind of south was the direction it was kind of taking us
okay.
in. And then we rounded up back north through Barlow Pass.
Oh, okay.
No, Bennett Pass.
Bennett.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Which has a beautiful view of the forest from up there. You're like overlooking the shoulder of Mount Hood and do they call it the Sherwood Forest? It's like where all the like Nottingham campground and all that stuff
oh,
is
nice.
Kind of down there on the, as you're heading around to Hood River.
Okay.
Yeah. Does anyone know where I'm talking about? No.
I know, but
these
general
are real
region.
Places.
Right. And there's a band of thieves that hide. No, it's a great spot.
Kevin Costner hangs out there, right?
That's right, in tights.
In tights. That was cheesy.
No, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that it's alive and kicking. How would people involve themselves if they wanted to join you on the next thing?
That's a good question. We're trying to figure out what our next year looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to find a way. So this is a total passion project. Like none of us are. We're just doing this for the fun of it.
Yeah.
So fitting it in kind of extracurricular activities and how to grow it so we can involve more ladies, but still maintain our sanity. So we're looking for that like special blend of sustainable growth and, but still getting a lot of people excited for it. So
there we go.
Yeah. We're having a team meeting next month and try to get some ideas. I'd really like to see expand beyond bikepacking because my whole
evil plan.
Yeah. Like this with my fingers together. I'm trying to get more ladies into mountain biking.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's kind of a gateway drug. You know, bikepacking mm-hmm. is something that is approachable. It's like touring, but just off-road.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just kind of slowly more and more introduce them to more and more off-road riding.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I'd like to see Kamrabi do some more mountain bike adventures
gotcha.
Next year. And maybe it involves bikepacking, or maybe it's just like epic day rides, you know. There's so much great riding around here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. We are in a fortunate position.
We are.
And
not
so are
here
you,
in
listener.
Portland, but
right,
we're working on it.
It still requires you to either own or rent a vehicle or otherwise obtain a vehicle in some mm-hmm. way.
Or take transit, mass transit.
That's right, yeah. So you can get, for example, Sandy Ridge
you
is
can?
Accessible mm-hmm. by public transit. It's yep. a long ride, but it can be done.
It mm-hmm. can be done.
And you can also go up, if you're a fan of the skiing, you can go up to Government Camp. Completely by public transit.
You can in the summertime, you can ride town, what's it called? Town to Trail or something like that. And you can start up by Timberline and ride all the way down to Rhododendron.
That's right.
I've
thought about doing that for a while. I feel like I wouldn't earn it, but I'm starting to care less about that. It sounds like a fun thing to do.
Shuttles are not always a bad thing.
Hashtag not cheating.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's still a lot of pedaling
in
that ride.
You could earn it by supporting this infrastructure.
That's true, yeah, and paying transit fare, which shows them that it's actually being used.
Right,
yeah.
Right, creating the demand or,
that's
or
the,
filling.
Okay,
the,
yeah.
Or come out for a trail build day.
There you
that's,
go.
That's a really yeah. awesome way to
that's
get
right.
back.
Go out and do something for the community. Of the things that you like to do. Go out and give. That's
pay for
right.
transit.
It's the season of giving, damn it. So, yeah. Now there's definitely, there's also the West End Transit Bus, I think that's what they call it. And that's the one that goes from Vancouver, Washington, up the gorge to various trailhead destinations. Mm. So it's a somewhat limited schedule, but I think there are two buses a day. At least it was last year, and we'll see what they come up with next year. We're actually having the person from that come in January sometime, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So
sweet.
You might not be here.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You can listen later.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a podcast.
It's a great thing about podcasts and audio mediums. Well, very good. So there's a website for this?
Kamrabi Cycling Team.
How do you spell that?
Kamrabi Cycling Team.
Okay. There we go.
.com.
Excellent. Yeah.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Kamrabi Cycling. Post really cool pictures from our adventures all summer long. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Very
good. Be in touch if you want to be involved. We're still trying to figure that out, but I'm always interested to hear from folks that have energy and enthusiasm.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Leah, what's the address of your house? Just kidding. How do people find your bike shop?
Leahshouse.com. Yeah. You can find me 2905 Northeast Alberta Street. If you come there, I'll give you the address to my house.
That's the carrot on the stick right there.
It's probably
there
you go. The truth.
There we go. Excellent. Well, thank you both for coming in. Are you cool for hanging out for a couple more minutes while we do news and mail?
Yeah, let's do it.
Excellent. All right, here come our headlines. Now I can eat this pizza, right?
What yes. can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
So we just got headlines tonight. I didn't do any mail.
Okay.
But
sounds good to me.
I could make up some mail.
Yeah. You know what we
go
don't
through,
got?
Go through our comments.
We don't have that song, though. Yeah.
Anyways, first up from Bike Portland. The headline is, Advocate, tell the city how to change residential infill rules. Whether you hate demolitions, love garages, learn to live in or yearn to live in a duplex,
I
or
yearn
just
to live in a
think
duplex.
The rent is too damn high, now's your chance to let the city know. Whatever it is you believe, a city survey is out until January 12th, and they want your opinion.
Okay. So if you are, if you have strong feelings about the real estate market.
Even if you don't have strong feelings and you just have some opinions you want to share. You know?
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
And I would think it's probably fair to say that anybody who lives in another metropolis should also share their voice and make sure they are heard in whatever venue they have.
Yes. If you live in, say, Minneapolis, you should tell Portland how their infill rules
That's right.
go.
That's right.
And we'll link to the survey on our site.
No, I was thinking if you live in Portland, you should tell all the other cities what to do.
Well, we already do that, don't
okay,
we?
Never mind. No, you should be, of course, you should be advocates for your own locality.
Yes. Yeah. No,
not kidding
and
about
I,
that one.
Well, oh, okay. No, but, anyways, I was going to say this is democracy in action right here. This is a sort of a participatory government
right
in action.
Yeah.
Granted, there's really nothing saying that the city is really going to do anything with this survey, but at least your voice is kind of being heard.
Your voice is there, and it may be heard.
And if they don't do anything about it, then you can not
you
vote
can
for
like,
them next time.
There you go.
Exactly, yeah. That is the public process.
That's how it's supposed to work, at least.
Right, right.
I like this democracy thing.
I know, I've been watching House of Cards recently, so I'm absolutely warped on how it actually happens.
Just be careful of Kevin Spacey.
Yeah,
that's right.
Watch out for that guy.
That guy's trouble.
He's a babe, guys.
Big trouble.
Big
that's
time.
Why he's trouble.
Big time.
That's how he's going to get you. That's how he's going to get you. Next up, from the Facebook, Maddie Carlson has invited you to Urban Cycling's event.
Yeah, so if you're hearing this and you're anywhere close to Portland next week.
Or if you just want a place to go next week,
right,
come
right.
to Portland.
This is a destination event.
Yes. Urban Cycling book signing party at Clever Cycles Tuesday, December 29th at 5 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Maddie Carlson will be in town signing her book, Urban Cycling.
And she's the author of that book. She also was a former guest. We had her on 2 years ago or more now.
Oh, gosh.
Like it was two and a half years?
Yeah, it was while we still were in your apartment.
And maybe before I had furniture? I forget.
No, we had furniture.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So she's got a book out. It's always nice anytime one of our, I like to think of them as alumni. Anytime,
there you go.
Anytime someone has a project and it sees the light of print.
I'm going to be working. I'm not going to be able to go see her.
Okay.
Man, I already snubbed her last time I was in Seattle. I feel double bad now.
Did you actually snub her?
Kind of. We made arrangements to, well, like kind of
and you were like,
tentative arrangement. I was like, she's not famous enough. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Maddie, I love you.
But get more famous. Work on that.
I mean, what did she do? She wrote a book. Come on.
Come on. No, it
yeah,
looks
to
be very
good. Last time I was
good.
In Seattle, we made these plans to like just kind of hang out, have some ice cream together, and it never panned out.
Well, you know. There's only so many things you can do.
Maybe I'll have some ice cream delivered to the shop. For
can we blame it on Car2Go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's
cool.
do that.
Sounds good. I like Car2Go. I use their services quite often. Also, my account was locked twice last week.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. That's okay.
You know who you should blame for that is Comcast.
I should. Oh, fuck Comcast. You know what? I got a whole issue with them that I can't
They're
get
responsible
into.
For everything bad.
They are.
Everything.
They are, and they will not answer for their services. They hire people not to answer your questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be angry at those people. I'm just angry at the power structure that employs them.
You should, I don't know, call the people and be like, hey, man, I know you're just like a cog in the machine.
Doesn't work.
Don't you just want to stick it to the man sometime?
Is there any way I could convince you to kind of bring the demise of this great giant you work for?
At your own personal expense.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry
about
that.
See, that's the problem. That's why it doesn't work. Yeah.
All right. Next up from TriMet.org.
They won't let me change my credit card. That's the thing.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I mean, it's just some weirness. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's obviously on their end.
That's counterproductive on their part.
I know. But my old one is still working. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay. Yeah.
Fuck that.
Weird. All right. Anyways, next up from TriMet.org. Wait, what are you?
That was my call to action.
Oh, okay. are we ready for this now?
Yeah.
Okay. Celebrate safely with TriMet. Thank you. All service is free after 8 p.m. on New Year's Eve, Thursday, nice. December 31st. So getting to your celebration and home again will be safe and inexpensive.
Yeah, like free.
Buses, Portland Streetcar, and West Commuter Rail will run on regular weekday schedules. Max will run on a regular weekday schedule with extended late night service until about 3 a.m.
That's great.
Want to plan ahead? Map out your night using the TriMet Trip Planner. If you're traveling after midnight on New Year's Eve, select January 1st, not December 31st.
Oh, there we go.
That was nice of them to put that hint out there.
It's a good tip. I was thinking that West Commuter Rail will run on regular schedules, which means like it'll barely run like it usually does. I'm not angry about it. It's just I shouldn't even care about it.
I have exactly zero experience with West Commuter Rail.
Okay. Adele and I thought it'd be fun.
I don't even know where I could find, like, pick it up.
Nowhere close.
Okay.
It's way over there on the other side of the hills.
Okay.
But Adele and I went out and we're going to do a transit adventure. Like, this new West thing just opened up and it ended in Wilsonville. So we're like, oh, we'll take the commuter train down. We'll grab a cup of coffee in Wilsonville. And then we'll take the train back before the schedules stop. So we get down to Wilsonville. And it turns out the place that they drop you off in Wilsonville at that time was, like, nowhere. There were, like, industrial buildings off in the distance.
It was barely Wilsonville.
Was like platted industrial ground that had not yet seen warehouses built on it. So there was art at the station.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
You could look
was
at
it
some
good
art.
Art?
No.
Come on, it's public art.
There was no place. So let me say again, I'm very thankful for the things that TriMet does. I do want to make sure that I balance this out because I don't hate TriMet.
No.
Like some advocates do. There is a thing about like... You kind of want to go to a place, and it didn't go to a place. It basically, West to Wilsonville connects with the smart transit system. So if we had taken more time and planned out, we could have found a coffee shop, but it would have been like another connection in 30 minutes more or something. So,
will it be a future place?
I hope so.
It seems likely.
Yeah. Well, and
you mean like with flying cars and like,
oh my gosh,
Hill Valley hoverboards.
Just go to Wilsonville to see the year 2050.
Jaws 17.
Shark still looks fake.
No, there was. I think eventually Wilsonville might become something because transit spur development does happen.
Yeah,
and you know it drives the rent up in some places, but it also kind of creates a new place for people to live.
Orenco Station.
Orenco Station. I have a crush on Orenco Station.
I know.
Hey, either
That's
of
why
you
I
two have
it.
Experience with Orenco Station?
Oh. Do I?
Oh, man. You know what I'm talking about.
I ended up
in Indeman.
Yeah. When I think of it, I remember the first time I went to Orenco Station was on my way back from a bike tour I was really hungry for ice cream. So we decided to stop at some store in Orenco Station and buy an ice cream maker, which is maybe the worst decision you can make.
Wait, you're hungry for ice cream. I just want to point out, you're hungry for ice cream. Rather than going to buy ice cream, you bought an ice cream maker.
Yes, and I wrote it all the way back.
Real DIY.
I made ice cream twice. But.
Well, that's great. I mean, you used it, but that also means that you didn't get ice cream when you wanted it, right? Or...
It was delayed gratification.
Yeah, but
there's something
to be
said. Yeah, I was going to say, that's okay for...
Yeah, I feel like a better person because
there
of
you
that.
Go.
I think you are.
Thanks.
So anyways, you bought a maker, ice cream, and you rode it home.
Yeah, that's really all I
What did you do with your bike?
I took a bungee cord.
And you strapped the bicycle to the ice cream maker?
Yes.
I just said that because Aaron said you rode it home.
Yes, I get it.
I had this cartoonish thing happening.
Sorry, right. I wasn't quite there with
get
you.
Get it? So, yeah. This has been a good show. It's probably a good time to wrap it up.
Well,
right?
Before we do that, though, huge thanks to TriMet and the people that are actually going to be
Let's say something nice about them, yeah.
These buses and these trains on their New Year's Eve. That's pretty that's pretty cool. Thanks, guys.
Sacrificing
and ladies that
their
are out there.
Holiday to,
yeah,
thank you.
To get
your
people around safely.
I hope enjoyable. They're getting paid double time. Just, you know.
I think they are.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, Joseph Rose isn't going to like that.
That's true. He's like the Ranger Smith of Portland transportation. I like that.
Just bringing up old news.
Yeah, I guess. No, thank you, TriMet, and thank you, Jocelyn, for bringing us back into a good headspace before we wrap the show up.
You're welcome.
All right.
And before we wrap the show up, do we have a theme for the night?
Well, I was going to ask. Yeah, so if you've heard recent... Excuse me. If you've heard recent shows, you know that we do these voices now at the end of the show. And those are generally chosen by our guests. So what should our theme?
Or a theme. Yeah. You could do like even some sort of abstract theme for us to interpret any way we want. Or
oh, man.
Or you could get as specific as you feel. Discuss amongst yourselves.
Well, I'd like to hear an example. I haven't been listening lately.
Oh, that's okay.
So tell me how it's gone.
Last time we did what, Yogi. It's actually the time when I like stop listening.
Oh yeah. Like the part when Maren plays guitar.
Yeah. I like it when Maren plays guitar.
But
anyways,
we did what was it? Yogi and Boo Boo.
Yogi and Boo Boo
last week.
We've done Stallone and Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Gosh, what else have we done?
Do you have?
Oh, we did Dueling Goldblums.
Oh,
once.
Right. Yeah, we were both Jeff Goldblum.
That was, I think, our best.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
That was our shining moment right there.
I feel like where my mind goes, you know, I don't know if this is the one you want to see, but just because it's so ill-fitting to your personalities, I kind of want to see, like, black metal vocalist closing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is ill-fitting to our personalities.
Well, ill-fitting to your on-air personalities.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. I think we can do that.
I can try my best. Do you want like more like, you know, Norwegian black metal, or are you looking for like sort of thrash metal?
Norwegian.
Those are two different things.
No, know. No. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. No.
Make
deep
no mistake.
Dark north.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you do Norwegian death metal with like a Darth Vader undertone thing going on?
Oh, that's good. That's good. Bring in the Star Wars.
And can I just do like the 80s?
I don't know. That might be a little difficult there.
I just want to do the 80s scream, I think.
Okay, we're
that's
ready.
More. That, well, see, that's more thrash, right?
Is it?
I mean,
you
we're
know
getting
about
into new.
Open
we're
to
getting into
new.
I'm out of my depth here.
Okay. All right.
Well, we'll do our best here.
Yes.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herbert for our headline sound.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining owners Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadow 4.
Katrina Millamgard, Wayne Norman,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson.
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazeski, Tim Mooney.
Orange and Purple. Glenn Goobers, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Dub Kern Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister, Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gibhart, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Burner, Peace, No,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaysen,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Keeley, Peanut Butter Jarman,
Patrick on Chain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lo. Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Wilkerson,
Drew the Welder, Anna Christus Kukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelly Intro,
King of Division, Josh Zisson, and Richard G.
Now go to bed.
It get hot in here.
That was even better than I imagined it.
Thanks for giving us good material. So podcasting and pizza don't work, I'm pretty sure, because I'm too self-conscious to talk to people.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I mentioned something about it up front. Maybe I should have said nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's good to be conscious of it. I don't know. We could. This was a practice run. We could try it again. I'm not willing to, like, throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah.
own it. Like, next time it should be pho. Like, you should just have like this. Like.
What about bun bahoy?
That's easy.
I think that would, yeah.